Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
On in, it is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys on the phone lines with us. A lot to get into today. Devin Caney will join the show coming up at 11. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni what he said to Joe and John this morning. Kiss the baby later on. You people, the World Series is set. The Eagles get set for a rematch against the Giants. And Brandon Graham is officially back as a Philadelphia Eagle. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Congratulations to BG for coming back. That was a short retirement. Congratulations.
It was a short retirement. And you know what? It's hopefully a return that we're going to be smiling about for a long time. All right, the news is out there. Look, it's been out there basically since Sunday. It was one of those, when we were on the air for the pregame show Sunday, and Elliot chimed in, he's like, I got news over here. And he was referencing all the insiders across all the networks saying, yeah, it sounds like Brandon Graham is considering coming back, right? And then it kind of bled into yesterday, and everyone started saying it was imminent, it was going to happen. Well, this morning, Brandon Graham announced it himself. He is back. Brandon Graham officially is a Philadelphia Eagle once again. Hugh, it's one of those things where it almost feels like what he deep down wants meets what the Eagles now need, which is another edge rusher. I remember when we played his retirement press conference, I didn't get the sense that he really wanted to retire. I didn't get that sense. I got the sense that he maybe thought it was the right moment, like it all kind of coalesced. They won the Super Bowl. It was a storybook ending. But I didn't get the sense, based on the way he sounded last spring, that he really wanted to leave. I thought he still had football left in him, maybe some good football left in him. Well, obviously he does. Hugh, your thoughts as it is official now, Brandon Graham back as a Philadelphia Eagle.
I'll say this. You always want to play, you know, because even – I would venture to think that me, John, and Ike would love to play, but we can't.
I've asked you many times how many snaps you have left.
Yeah, I mean, but that the reality is I can't.
Yeah.
You know, not at the level that I see myself playing at. Brandon feels like he can still play at that level. Who am I to tell him that he can't? He has to go out there. He's the only one that knows how his body feels. And I'll say this to all of that. Once the game is gone, there's nothing you can do. There's no magical pill or whatever you can do to get that feeling back or be able to play at the level that you once played at. So if he feels like he can play, go out there and do it. Do it as long as you can.
Yeah, look, I think across the board today, we're all happy for Brandon Graham. And like the more we get to watch an all-time Eagle wear the uniform again, it's fun, right? Like, if you're going to the game on Sunday and he gets to run to that tunnel, we'll see if he's going to play Sunday. Some reports out there he could be ready for as quickly as this Sunday. That's fun. Like, it's 55, right? It's BG. He's an all-time Eagle, and he gets to play again. It is fun to feel that and watch him play again. The question in my mind, and what I thought about this morning, is does it really change what I feel and what we feel about the team? And I think there's going to be a sense of, hey, it's a depth piece. How much really could it change things? But the more I think about it this morning, as it is official now, right? It's gone from idea to reality. It does change how I feel about the 2025 Eagles. And I think it gives them a much better chance to go and try to achieve their goals. Let's unpack this for a second. They needed depth at edge. Regardless of if his name was Brandon Graham or Za'Darius Smith or whoever else they were going to bring in, they needed another edge rusher. Well, they just got it. They just added an edge rusher today, and they didn't have to go through the trade deadline to do it, which means they have their resources to use on other things. If you were to wrote down this morning or Saturday morning three positions of need, edge rusher would have clearly been near the top of the list. It would have been one of those three things. They got that. They added an edge rusher, and it just so happens to be it's an all-time Eagles great that we've watched for 15 years. So they added a spot they needed. They also, and I've said this since the offseason, they have lacked leadership on the defensive side. If Brandon Graham is out there in week one on the field, does Jalen Carter spit in Dak Prescott? I don't know, but he might not. Brandon Graham might remove him from the situation. I feel like this team on the defensive side has lacked leadership the entire season. They've gotten a heck of a lot of penalties. They've allowed big plays. They have just seemed like they've been very young on that side. And now you bring another vet into the building. So I like that about this move, that we have a veteran to bring into the mix. So it's the depth at the position. It's the leadership. Howie Roseman could now use his resources to trade deadline to go get a corner instead of having to get a corner and an edge, or maybe just an edge and not a corner. Go get the corner because now we have extra edges. And I don't want to go overboard and pretend we're getting Brandon Graham from 6 years ago. But I think as this has played out the last 2 days, we've almost forgotten the player he was last year. On the best Eagles defense I've ever seen, he was what? The second or third best edge rusher on the team? He wasn't a nobody last year. He didn't look done last year. Now, he got hurt twice, which was unfortunate, and Hugh probably speaks to his body breaking down a little bit as he ages, but there was a moment last season on the best Eagles defense I've ever seen where he was their best edge rusher. If you point back to the game he got hurt in Los Angeles against the Rams, I would have said at the end of that night,
oh, yeah, he was doing his thing.
He's the best. It's only less than a year removed from that. The last time I watched him play, he could still play. So I'm going to go off, until I watch him this week or next week, whenever he gets in the field, I'm going to go off of that's the last time I watched Brandon Graham.
That's what we all do, though, as fans.
Yeah.
That's what we go off of what we saw last.
Right. So that tells me it changes things. Last year, he made a difference on one of the best defenses we've ever seen here. So it adds depth, it adds leadership. And last time I watched him play, he could still play. This changes things for me for the 2025 Eagles. Hugh, does it change the equation for the team?
I have to see it, Joe. I'm excited. I'm excited for BG. I'm excited for the fact that he gets to put the Eagles uniform on one last time. But the reality is this. Father Time is undefeated. You know, and we saw, whether we saw it in his play or his body breaking down, we saw it. We saw the fact that Father Time is starting to catch up with him. And you know, when you talk about, I was talking to Landon last night, and we were talking about how it was when we left the NFL. I said, I got kicked out. I said, I tried to play as long as I did, and I got kicked out.
Yeah.
And I think Ike said something to the same effect. The bottom line is this in the NFL. As great as Brandon was as an Eagle, in order to get respect in that locker room, you got to be able to play. And he was able to do that last year, and that's why his voice resonated through that whole locker room. But if you can't play, then it's like the Lion King. Nobody's going to respect. The pride's not going to respect you if you're not out there making plays. You got to make plays, you know. And then on top of that, how is he going to be received in the locker room? Because he's taking one of those young Thundercats reps. And when you look at it, even though they only had a couple sacks to show for it, they rushed better last week. They rushed a little bit better last week.
Well, some of that is Carson Wentz. He bites the rush.
I hear what you're saying. Don't matter. Carson Wentz is getting paid. He got paid Tuesday or yesterday because he plays in the NFL. He's a professional. And those guys got after him a little bit.
Yeah, maybe if those guys had played better, they wouldn't have called Brandon Graham.
I think it's a depth piece. I think they did. I think they played better. Now, what does this mean for Jahad Campbell and his rushes?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't know. But Brandon has to play well. I think Brandon has to play well in order to be a loud voice in that locker room.
I agree with that. But last year he played well. I mean,
yeah, he did last year. That's last year, though, Joe.
Right, but we do that for everyone. So until I see him not play again,
you're right. I'm not trying to poo-poo what you're saying. My bad. I don't want you to think
I think it works both ways. Yeah. For you, you need to see it. For me, it's the opposite. Like until I see him not play well, the last time
totally
I watched him play, he could still play.
Totally agree.
I think there's a. I think it's natural to be like, come on, he's old, he was retired, is this really going to move the needle?
Come on, he's old.
You know, I mean, I think that's a natural reaction today. Yeah. Like, how much is he going to change things? But I think when you add together depth, leadership, and the last time he played, he still could play.
Yeah.
This changes things. And I think it could change really the most important thing, which is what Howie Roseman focuses on at the trade deadline. Like, it's one thing to have two or three needs. It's another thing to have one need. And then you could focus your resources, your attention on go getting a second corner. 215-592-9490 for your reaction. I mean, we're all happy today. I mean, we're excited for BJ. It's fun to watch him in an Eagles uniform again. But beyond just being happy and that natural reaction, I think it changes things for the team. Let's hear from Saquon Barkley this morning on with the Morning Show, talking about a charity event he had coming up, but also talking about BG and the impending return here.
If a player like, let's say, Brandon Graham, and a person like, let's say, Brandon Graham, were to rejoin your team, what would the impact be, as you see it, if Brandon were to come back and join the squad?
I love how you worded that question. If BG was to happen to come back to the Philadelphia Eagles, what do I think that would mean? I would think it would mean a lot. Just his presence, his leadership, you know, just the way he comes into the locker room, the way he comes into the building every single day, it goes throughout the whole building from the vets to the young guys. So if BG was to sign back, you know, I would definitely be happy. And if I happen to see him working really hard, I know he will be ready. And if, you know, there's a lot of ifs here, but mm-hmm. if he comes back, I think it will really help our team out a lot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he said it. It's happened. It's official. BG is back. I like the way Joe asked that question. All the ifs, because it wasn't official yet. It is official now. Brandon Graham back. Does it change the way you feel about the 2025 Eagles? It does for me. Kyle, what are you feeling? BG back once again.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love Brandon Graham. He's mm-hmm. one of my favorite Eagles ever. When he retired.
I can feel it. Yeah.
There's one coming.
Yeah.
I still think he's maybe the greatest Eagle to ever play, just considering the resume, all the things that he's done, and being here for what, 15 seasons, the Super Bowl winning play, all that stuff. Yeah.
Two-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, love Brandon Graham. But like to think that this changes anything about, you know, how I should view the defense or like the trade deadline, anything like that. Like I mean, you're going way too far. Like he's a depth piece. It's great. I felt more excited in terms of impact when we got Za'Darius Smith. I mean, the guy had 9 sacks last season. And Brandon Graham had like 3.5. I mean, look, I mean this with all due respect.
It don't sound like it.
The biggest thing Brandon Graham did last year was go on WIP and air out Jalen Hurts and AJ.
Well, I included leadership as the second thing I said. That was important.
It's true.
Was that important he did that?
No, look, and it
you
was.
No
and,
respect
like,
for your elders.
No. Well, you... look, the leadership
you
thing...
You are so messy.
I I think he's right on this.
I'm just trying to be honest.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. You just sat here and sang his praises, but, that, but seriously?
Leadership is an important thing. Sometimes, you know this, sometimes you got to yell at people to get their attention.
Sure.
And like, he did it for 20 minutes last year on WIP.
You got to yell at the right one.
And that part of it's fine. But like, look, if this thing was if this thing was going to spiral out of control, I don't think Brandon Graham is saving it. I don't know. The impact on the field, like, it's a depth piece. Fine.
But that's what he was last year.
I understand that, but he still looked like one of our best edge rushers all season long. I don't expect him to come in and be that right now. If you still ask me if we needed an edge rusher at the trade deadline, I would say, hell yeah. Like, that doesn't change that at all. So, like, I don't expect it to, like, add a win. I don't expect it to add, like, serious amount of production to where I'm sitting there on game day going, like, hell yeah, like, Brandon Graham's back. Like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm happy. But, like, in terms of, like, how I look at this team, no, it doesn't change anything.
Mm. Yeah, it does for me. I think we're actually underrating this a little bit. This is a guy last year, again, it wasn't on a decent defense last year. He stood out for a lot of last season as the best edge rusher on a team that was the best defense we've ever seen here. Now, by the end of the year, Nolan Smith came on and Josh Sweat, you know, had 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl. So what, Brandon Graham by the end was the third best edge rusher on the best Eagles defense of all time? That wasn't 3 years ago. And I know he's coming off another injury. Hugh, it's fair to mention that. He's also come back from an Achilles. He's come back from a knee. He's come back. He's had an ability to bounce back from injuries throughout his career. I don't know, 35, 36?
Yeah. It's a little bounce back is hitting a little different when you get older.
Wait, didn't he bounce back from the torn triceps to come back and play in the Super Bowl?
He tore it again.
Yes. Well, so, wait. But so did Nolan Smith. I mean, guys get hurt all the time, right?
I mean, but it's a little different when you're younger.
I guess Nolan Smith can't stay on the field. He's 24 years old.
Well, and his body type is a little different. He's a little more wiry. So there's that.
Well, can I throw this in? Yeah, are we sure Brandon Graham's going to stay on the field?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Well, but you say this all the time. I'm not sure that about any player, right? Like, any player could get hurt.
I get that. Yeah. I'm just, you know.
This feels like it turned from, like, praise to disrespect real
quickly.
Well,
this is what you started.
What do you mean? What I'm saying? How did I start?
Well, people tune in and say, they're like, oh, I bet Hugh's excited and Jillian's going to poo-poo
excited,
this.
But
no,
I also
heard a twinge of, we got to see.
No, because you do, because I know what it's like to be. The one thing that I have over both of y'all is I know what it's like to be old. I know what that feels like.
Oh, we know.
And I know what it feels
that
like.
We know.
To not be able to go back to back. So there's some things you have to worry about. But the one thing that I would never bet against is him as an individual.
Yeah.
I've been through this before. I went through this with Trot. I remember when Trot went back to the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to him, and he was working out with Andy. Andy had him working out doing drills. And I was laughing at him, and I was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? He's like, hey, man. And he told me to a man. He said, God told me I had one more year left in me.
See?
And he played. And he played well. So I've learned from that moment never to underestimate, you know, somebody's desire to do something. So that's kind of what it's looking like with BG, but you still got to see it.
Of course.
Because even with Trot, you still had to see it.
And again, if he was coming off a year last year where he looked cooked, and then they try to drag this out one more time just so he could be a leader, then I would say, oh, come on, guys. But he didn't look cooked last year. He got hurt twice. I acknowledge that. But when he played last year, he still played really well.
Had a friend of mine just hit me up and said, BG, tall does BG talk about being a leader is indicative to failure. Why is there a dearth of leadership at the Eagles? Is that what are we talking about leadership, or are we talking about his actual ability to
play? I'm talking about both. And they do have a lack of leadership on the defense. They're all 24 years old. I mean, who's the leader? I mean, Jalen Carter's the leader? Jalen Carter spit on someone and got kicked out of a game. Like that.
Does he not do that at Brandon Graham here, though?
That is different.
I don't know. But does
he do it with Brandon here? Yes.
Of course he does.
I don't know that.
Of course he does.
I don't know that. I don't know that he does.
I know. I'm here to tell you.
No, I don't know that.
First of all.
Tell him, Hugh.
First of all,
you played football, Joe.
No, we're not Ryan Clark and folks around these parts.
They wore leather helmets then. The game was different.
No, we're not Ryan Clark.
The game was way different.
But I will say this. Brandon probably, more than likely, would not have been on the field when the game started.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
I mean, that so, obviously, to break it down literally, yeah, you're probably right.
How are you going to stop him?
Well, okay. But the point is, who are the vets on the defense? Like right now, do they have a player over the age of 30? There's no veteran. Zach Bond, I think he's 28, 29.
But he's still a vet.
One.
Still a vet.
So last year we had Slay.
Reed
and
Blankenship.
We had BG.
Reed
Blankenship.
Because Slay did give him the leadership mantle.
He's like 26.
And CJ GJ got upset.
He did. You heard Slay, Joe.
If you guys can't see the leadership void we have on defense,
no,
I don't know what to tell you.
But here's the reality of the situation, though.
Vic, he's in the booth.
And Coach No Neck.
Coach. All right, 215-592-9494.
He did give you some examples, though. You just, on the field, in the locker room.
I decided today I'm the only former football player here. You guys obviously don't get it. I'm going to Ryan Clark you. Let's go to Will in the Northeast, who's up on WIP. What's up, Will?
Oh, Dream Team, how y'all doing?
What's up, Will?
Oh, man, listen, yesterday I forgot my phone at home. I couldn't call.
Oh, no, that's all right. We got you today.
But listen, I just want to say welcome back, BG, man. I knew you was coming back. I knew you wasn't ready to retire. And I'm keeping it real, man. So every time everybody brought up that question, he said 90%, 80% retired and all that. But, you know, he wasn't ready to retire. I'm glad you're back. You're going to help the defense. But let me tell y'all, man, we forgot about N'Kobe Dean. He's a great leader, man. Whether y'all want to see it or not or recognize it yet, he's a great leader. And once BG stepped down, he's going to be the next one up, man, because he know how to lead the defense and everything. But what I want to say is I did tell y'all so on Friday. Everything that I said in my when I was giving my little hype speech, it came to light. I said, yeah, Jalen going to have over 300. Remember I kept saying
you
that?
You said it.
I said it. Mm-hmm. And I said under the helm, I said in order to be great, Jalen, you're going to have to go under the helm, man. You're going to have to, you know, just do it, man, because once you start that, it's going to open up a lot of things. And this is the last thing I want to say real quick. The I formation, man. Y'all keep saying, oh, man, listen, that I formation is going to open up for everybody. For the receivers, listen, for the receivers, for the running
listen,
and everything.
Kyle.
You know why? Because this is, listen to it.
We don't use the fullback, though. So we could go under center, but it's not really an I.
When you
think of the I formation, you got the John Ritchie fullback there.
Listen. Goddard going to be our fullback.
Oh, God.
You could use him as a fullback. But listen.
I don't want to use Goddard as a fullback. He's too good.
Listen. Yeah. The defense is going to be so focused on the run.
I need Ritchie talking about Spider 2 Y Banana now off the I formation.
Listen, the defense is going to be so focused on the run, it's going to open up the play action. After we start doing the play action a number of times, then that's when the run game.
Well, it worked. Now the play act. Look, under center, the play action was all great on Sunday. We'll see if they keep doing it. Well, we'll talk more about it.
I got bad news for everybody. They're not. If Cam Jurgens is playing, it's back to shotgun.
Of course. I'm not yet believing we're going to go under center a lot.
We had a little bit of success under center.
Sure, we did. We'll see if we keep doing it here. Yeah. Now look, we did it. It was really good when they went under center.
That was your contribution.
That's my analysis.
Again, as the only football player in the show, I'll try to rein this thing back in. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to BG returning, and does it change the way you feel about the team? It does for me. It changes the way I feel about the team. It changes the trade deadline. I think now Howie could go to put his resources in a corner rather than have to go get another edge. And I think we're almost underestimating how much BG still could play last year. He still was a player that made a difference when he was on the field. Again, I recognize he's a part-time player. That's fine. No one's asking him to start. No one's asking him to give them 60 snaps. But when he was on the field last year, he still could get to the quarterback. And he sets the edge. You know, we're not great against the run this year either. To me, it changes this team. Chris in Middletown is up. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, man.
Good morning, Chris.
I got a serious question for you. Was that really Will or was that Herb?
That was Will, but it was Herbish. I think we were all being honest on that one, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Well, because he went all over the place. I formation. We're talking. I mean, Will. No, there's high expectations. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna be the first caller, there's high expectations.
Yeah.
You can't swing and miss like that. And Chris, you know it. I mean, you've been in that spot many times.
I've been there, man. Yeah. You know, it's not easy to be Trey Turner. But listen, guys. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to split the baby. Fanboy Joe has an unrealistic expectation here. You know, Hugh, you're definitely right. His body is trying to tell his brain it's cooked, but he's not listening. And a serious question, Hugh, correct me if I'm wrong, but if he was going to play this year and not go into a retirement year, wouldn't his diet be different? His workouts be different? Like, I'm sure he's probably a little lighter because he's changed that stuff. Like, and Joe just thinks he's going to roll out of bed and just jump out on the field. And it's just magically going to happen. And he was about to tell you, Joe, that that's wrong. It's just illogical. And the proof, Joe, that it's not like that is sitting right next to you in studio, and he's doing his damnedest to try to tell you it's not real. He's sharing his own life experience and telling you it's not going to happen. And I don't understand why you magically think he's going to go out there and like roll up like 10 sacks in the remainder of the season.
Well, I never said that. I never said that.
Give you contribute.
You said it.
Yeah, contribute.
No, I never said that. Last year,
it was this close to coming out.
No, stop. Last year, we all saw that he helped. And what Kyle said.
No, he did. He did.
And what, he had 3 sacks last year? Like, I don't need 10 sacks for him to be a help here. Plus, there is a leadership void on that side of the ball that everyone, except the two people with me here, recognize this year.
Listen, Joe, that is the only thing they'll give you credit for. There's clearly some drama going on in the locker room that's still spilled over from last year and probably, I'm sure, some new things. And that is where he will be helpful. But look, you don't need to put him out on the field to have him do that. You bring him in some other role, but, hey, they're going to bring him back to play because they're so desperate at the end. But, guys, I'm going to leave you with, I think we can fill that hole, and somebody who I would feel positive about is, let's go get Bradley Chubb, who's 29 years old. He had, let's remind you, in 2023, he had 11 sacks, and that was under a Vic Fangio coach defense. So I think he knows how to plug him in, utilize his skills, and salvage him from the Miami Dolphins dumpster. So that's who I would feel good about solving our DN problems, Joe. You saying, oh, we could worry about the secondary now
because
we've got Brandon Graham. That dog ain't going to hunt, Joe. Have a good one, fellas.
You got it, Chris. Appreciate it. Like, that's fine. I mean, I think that their biggest need now is clearly corner. They have 5 potential edge rushers to go down the stretch of the season with Nolan Smith, Jalex Hunt, Josh Uche, Jahad Campbell, and Brandon Graham. Like, I'm not saying any of these guys are Reggie White, but they have 5. Last year they won the Super Bowl, and they had a group that no one was like, wow, they have this guy. Vic Fangio could scheme it up if he has depth. This adds depth, it adds leadership, and the last time we saw him on the field, he still could play. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to Brandon Graham officially unretiring. He is back as a Philadelphia Eagles. Does it change the way you feel about this year's team? It does for me. Hater Hugh and hate, Kyle over
hate,
there.
Hate.
Yeah, just, I'm a complete hate on a legend. It's ridiculous. All right, we'll get to all that. Your phone calls. Plus, an interesting thing BG said about retiring in the first place and why he came back. That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.